Hey everyone, welcome to the College Football Rundown. I'm Woj.
And I'm Walt.
And we have made it past championship week into bowl prep week here, Wal, with I guess I should say the Army Navy week, considering they play on this week every year.
Yeah, Army Navy, if you're going to throw something on that game, I don't know that I will, but I can guarantee you this. We are going to talk about that football game during this episode. Excited for it, but I'm more excited for the bowls because, you know, that's where I take home my money on a yearly basis. Gotta love them.
Yep. I want to see the props on flyovers. I mean, that's what I would bet on in this game. I've been pretty good with flyovers, so I bet props. I did not win this game last year in flyovers, but yeah, I'm sure it'll be better than what was the Michigan-Ohio State game before championship week had a just commercial jet flyover. It's got to be better than that.
A commercial jet? What is
yeah,
that?
They
even
had a com- I, what, yeah, like I don't
American
I don't know.
Airlines Boeing 747.
Yeah, they had like a 737 just fly over. I'm just like, come on, boys and girls, let's get it together here.
They probably showed the logo on that plane too. They yeah. got it for free for advertising. I love it, Woj. Capitalism.
All right, moving on. We got DraftKings from last week. We did our captain's showdown for the Big Ten championship game, and it was a doozy as far as points go. I bet you can imagine. Well, JM Doof did end up taking it with 74.40 points. Surprised there was that many points to be had, but he did take Blake Corum as his captain's pick, which is, I tried to, I just really couldn't make it work. But now that I saw his roster, I probably could have made it work. I got big pick points out of the Michigan kicker Turner, and also got Johnson, the wide receiver from Michigan as well. Got some big points. It was a fun year overall though. While we had some good fun. I did not win, but I did come close. I had a chance there, Walt.
I love it, Woj. I love it. I'll tell you who didn't have a chance in the showdown, though. That was me. I mean, I bet with the heart a little bit there, Woj, taking all Iowa players. Well, except for one. It made me take somebody on Michigan. I guess that was the rules.
McCarthy as your captain's pick.
And that was a fat finger mistake. I meant to put Corum in there, and he would have been my captain. That's who I meant to choose after it made me pick someone, but I don't think it would have mattered anyway because I had all Iowa players, which I don't think it panned out well for me.
Yeah, I feel like my captain picked up pretty decent. I had the tight end from Iowa, Ostrander. Ostrango. Yeah, he scored 18 points, didn't have a touchdown. If he would have got a touchdown, it would have had more points than Blake Corum as far as captain picks go. So I just didn't come through. It is what it is. It was a tough game.
Yeah, to get points. I mean, we should have done it on that Washington Oregon game, Woj, because that was a good football game.
You know, Washington's lucky number is 3, Wall, because they just keep beating Oregon by 3. Again, beat Oregon 34-31. Overall, good game from both sides. I feel like Washington got out to the hot start there, which put Oregon kind of on their toes, and the game kind of then relied so much on Bo Nix. And just making plays happen.
Well, absolutely. I mean, Penix, he took over that game, which he looked like, yeah. I mean, I expected that Bo Nix was going to be the better player coming into that football game. The Heisman voters, they thought that Bo Nix was going to be a better player going into that game. But let me tell you, Penix played some football. I did not expect that outcome, was not happy, made a live game bet on Oregon at one point. Plus 180 straight up on the money line. Obviously, I did not win that. What are you going to do, though? When Penix plays out of his mind like that, Oregon's going to have a tough time beating that football team.
Yeah, I mean, I guess either quarterback at that point. But, you know, Bo Nix did have a great game as well. It's just, again, Washington got out to that hot start, and you're on their tails the entire game. And it's just tough to come back, especially when they have a player on the other team playing so good. And the receivers are playing good, and the line was playing good. But it is what it is. Washington does end up beating Oregon, and they are the Pac-12 champions. They will be going to the the college football playoff as ranked number 2. We'll get to the full rankings a little later. But Liberty did take down New Mexico State for the Conference USA title. Well, I didn't watch this game. I don't know if you did.
No, I didn't catch it. It was on Friday night, too, along with that Oregon game. Oregon-Michigan, or Washington game, I should say. I didn't catch it myself. I saw the final score. I saw that Salter had an amazing game, 2 touchdowns, north of 300 yards passing. I mean, when your quarterback is playing that good, when you have a football team that, you know, just hasn't lost a game all year, let's remember that. We're talking about goose eggs on the schedule. This Liberty football team has not lost a game all year. They take down New Mexico State, a team they're going against that has four losses. Hey, they took them down handily. They deserve the win. And I think maybe later in the episode, you might have something interesting to say about Liberty if it were the next year.
I do. I guess people can probably already guess it with that little hint. But yeah, we're going to talk about them a little bit and coming up here. But Bama handles Georgia well. I'm actually not too surprised on this one. As much as I'm a Georgia fan and not an Alabama fan, that Auburn game scared me just with how they could handle a mobile quarterback. And though Milton didn't really beat them too much with his legs, I think he opened it up enough, and he showed us a lot more with his arm than I've seen all of this season be able to do in that game. And they beat Georgia 27-24. Well,
yeah, they came out with a good game plan. I didn't expect that Alabama was going to win this football game. I really hope they did not win this football game. They came through. I mean, yes, I understand that Alabama's offense was clicking, doing pretty well. They only scored 27, but I think they moved the ball when they needed to. They controlled the clock a little bit. They kept the ball out of Carson Beck's hand to some degree. He still threw north of 200 yards, 243 yards total. I mean, Isaiah Bond, this kid came out of, in my opinion, I know he was good throughout the season, but he came out of nowhere. He's just, making great plays big games. You got to love that for Alabama.
Well, I think a lot of this is early on in the season. Well, for one, they didn't have a run game, Alabama, that is. And now they've started to get something working there, especially with Milrow. But I think their offensive line and Milrow are starting to work on the same level. They're understanding like what their quarterback is and how he moves and what he does and his timings. And I think that's helping out. I think it's making Bama a better team. I actually think this playoff is going to be really good because I do think Bama is a much better team than that first time they played Texas. And I think they're one of the better teams in college football as of right now, just with the talent level they have. And now that everybody's clicking and understanding how everybody works, I think this is going to be, I don't want to say it, this could be Alabama's year. I'm not lying. I think they're just that good. It really comes down to those penalties like we've talked about for the last couple of years with Alabama, who typically has always been a very sound team as far as penalties. They just can't commit those penalties that they keep committing on the line. And I think they're starting to fix that coming down the stretch here.
Well, I mean, you're 100% right. I don't think a championship team should be committing that many penalties year in and year out. I mean, these are premier players and you're just losing yards constantly. I disagree with you a little bit. Yes, maybe Bama does win the national championship, but you got to remember this is a team that they got it was kind of a Hail Mary to beat Auburn. They lucked out in that football game. Look real good against Arkansas, a football team that's, mediocre at best. Texas A&M, they didn't even beat them by a touchdown. And that's the end of the year, Woj. Those are the only games I'm talking about second half of the year. So I just question this football team. I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a good game against Michigan, so I'm excited for that.
Yeah, it will be. And then on to Michigan. Iowa lays the goose egg against Michigan, 26-20. Held them really tough in the first half there. A couple, we actually had a special teams mishap. And for Iowa, that doesn't happen very often, or it would have been a lot tighter there going into halftime. But we just couldn't move the ball. Typical Iowa story. It's been like that all season. And hopefully in the coming years, that changes. I think they're going to need change.
Yeah, I mean, we shall see. We played a good football game. That special teams mishap that really hurt us. You can't turn the ball over. We turned the ball over on offense a couple times. One of them, yes, I get it. It was highly questionable and likely the wrong call. But still, you can't put yourself in a position for the officials to make a wrong call, on your own 5 or 10 yard line. Iowa needs to pick it up. We played a good football team. We should have been real close in that game, and we should have had an opportunity to beat them. I believe our team did play better than the score showed.
I would agree with that. I think especially the defense played better. Again, we had the turnover, which would have put more points on the board for us. And then you have that special teams mishap, which is not fun at all to watch somebody run back a punt. But it is what it is. Iowa did lose. Michigan goes on. They become the number one ranked team in the nation, which is interesting. We'll get more to the rankings in a little bit, but Texas puts down a Texas whooping on Oklahoma State while 49-21, trying to make a statement to the committee saying, hey, get us in there. And I think they did that.
Well, and who would have expected that this outcome came to fruition. Was anybody talking about, you know, their mentality going into this game? I will say, Listen to the rundown last week. We went over this. Texas, you know, They had to make a statement before that game. People are saying, myself included, you know, this is a long shot team to make the playoffs. Well, as soon as they played Oklahoma State and the score went final, they were no longer a long shot team. They're one of the front runners. Alabama took down Georgia. I mean, at that point, they were kind of a lock. Alabama was the only question mark. So yes, Texas took down Oklahoma State. The score was 49-21, which you mentioned. Texas really won that football game even more handily than that score shows, which they took them I would to agree. Town. They took them to town.
Especially in the first half when, hey, everybody's in there and going to town. I think they had everybody play the whole game, but their defense was clicking. Their offense was just firing in all cylinders. It looked like a great football team. So we'll have to see them versus some defenses that are going to be a little tougher. They've already handled Alabama this season. So it'll be an interesting game against a Washington team, which likes to do the same thing. But can they go? Well, we'll get to those games more later on in the season here in a couple more episodes when we take over the Bulls. But can Texas go toe-to-toe with a Washington State team on offense, Wall? Or just forget about defense, do the old Pac-12 or Big 12?
Well, Washington State, they could crush them. They're playing Washington, obviously. And yes, I think they still can't even against football team. You're talking about Texas, I mean – I know you said Alabama, you think, is the best. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but from what you were saying, it seems like you might think they're the best team in the nation right now. I think Texas, and I'm a big Michigan guy, you know, it's Michigan and Texas real close there, but I think Texas might be the best team in the nation right now. So, yes, absolutely. I think they can hang with the Huskies team.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there either. I think Texas and Alabama both have plays into that number one spot. I think Texas is a really good team, especially when everybody's healthy. They're really good, well-rounded team. They have weapons at the wide receiver spot. They have a really good weapon at quarterback. They have a good weapon at running back. Their defense has been playing much better over the last couple seasons that we've seen. So I think Sarkisian's got the mix there, and I think he's got it right. And I think Texas is going to be a contender for years to come here with that program he's building over there, Wall.
Hey, who would have thought this football team would be in the playoffs, Woj? This Texas football team that no one gave credit to, Woj. Who at the beginning of the year would have thought they'd be in the playoffs?
I think that was a Wall or the rundown.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, last one. This is kind of worth talking about. Tulane does end up losing to SMU in the AAC championship 26-14. And this would have had implications in 2024 with the 12-team playoff. But SMU takes them down, Wall.
That was a surprising game to me. I didn't get to watch a lot of it. I was real focused. It was at the same time as the Texas game, which obviously, you know, I was watching my boys there. But, I mean, Tulane did not look that great in the first half, really. I know they scored one touchdown in the first half. They looked like maybe in the second half, in the third quarter, they were going to come back. But then SMU, the Mustangs, they just – basically stomped him. Pratt, I mean, come on now, Pratt. You got to get something going. The man's been, how many years has he been there? 12 years now, Coach?
Remember who was the quarterback from Penn State who was there for a decade?
Oh, he just left. His name's escaping my mind. Well,
yeah, but I mean, it's just like one of those situations. Like, man, he's still playing. You're still picking him on fantasy. Like, holy crap. Let's move on now, boys.
I know. The reason I remember is because you used to always like pick him for the past 12 years. You've been picking him on your fantasy team because he scores points.
I know. My wife the other day was watching some football with me, and they said a 6-year senior on the announcers. I can't remember which game it was. I'm assuming it was the Iowa Michigan game. Somebody was a 6-year senior and they were talking about him. It's probably Gus Johnson. And really, oh, that 6-year senior or something, you know, something. Just loud enough so that she can really pay attention to it. And she's like, what do you mean a 6-year senior? And I had to try to explain it to her. And I was even having a hard time with all these different rules of keeping them here and grad transfers and being able to play in red shirts. And I mean, these kids can stay in college forever now.
They can, that red shirt. And then we got the COVID year for a lot of these kids.
Grad transfers. Yeah, everybody's eligible to play whenever. Yeah.
By the way, it was Sean Clifford. His name is
Sean Clifford. Yes. Yeah. Gosh, he was in college forever.
Sure was. Him and Shipley Jr. from Texas, wide receiver. They're 12-year players.
Yes. That covers last week's games, championship week, Wall. So we got one game this weekend. I don't know much about either team, even though typically an Army and a Navy have pretty good defenses. Army obviously being an independent, and I think Navy is from, are they from Conference USA, Wall? It's slipping my mind. No, they are not.
Navy is from American Athletic, AAC.
AAC, you're right. They're from the AAC. Both teams defensively, as far as like fantasy points go, haven't been that impressive. Both teams giving up 20 plus points a game, but got a little trivia for you here, Wall. And I know you can see this, but I'll just let it sink in a little bit to our rundown fans before I give the answer. Army or Navy beat Army 50 years ago by how many points? Oh. And I'll just no one's going to know that answer, but I'll just let it sink in for a little bit as you go over the numbers. Well,
in this game, Navy plus +3, Woj, they're not expected to win by any amount of points, especially that big ass number you're about to give us. I bet on the money line, you want to take Navy plus +130. They are the dog. Army minus -142, best line over there on DraftKings. I'm looking at sports betting intel. Hey, you want a weird total? It's not weird to us. It's not foreign to us. We're used to this, Mr. Woj, but we got a total over under of 27.5.
Woo! Whoa! Offensive powerhouses over there. You know, the more exciting thing about this game is who does the flyover. Last year, we had Army and Navy both supply a flyover, one with the two Blackhawks, one Blackhawk, two Apaches, and then one of the carrier helicopters. And then we had Navy fly over with some jets, obviously the helicopters with the Army. So I don't know if we're going to get the B-21 that I hoped, which was the new stealth bomber that we have going in production, which is doing test flights right now. So I was hoping to get that, but considering that's Air Force, well, I don't think we're going to see it. We'll probably see some version of Army or Navy or something going on here. I really hope it's not the what do you call those guys? The Fighting Falcons or whatnot. Those guys that really do the F-16 jets really well and do a bunch of air shows. I can't, Blue Angels, which is Navy. So we'll see who it is this year, but I always like to look at those flyovers. I think they're cool, especially if you're at the stadium. If you've ever been there, when there is one, they're pretty sweet. But 50 years ago, Wal, 50 years ago, Navy beat Army 51-0.
That's a big old score, especially for 50 years ago.
I mean,
they didn't play football like they play today. So
the 50th anniversary of that day, which is the biggest margin in this game's history, we will see. But, you know, it's a great game, especially for America. Go America. But, especially for America, it's always a good game. They always do a really good halftime show with veterans and things like that. So, really looking forward to just, you know, getting to watch a little bit of football this weekend, even obviously if it's not going to be a lot of scoring. I know Story won't be happy about that one, but maybe he can bet the over on the 20-something and hope people score. But moving on, Wal, we do have the top four teams that are going to be in the playoff. That's Michigan, Washington, Texas, and Alabama. What are your thoughts? Because my thoughts are I think as much as it sucks to Florida State, as much as it sucks to their fans, there is a stipulation in there that says if your team has lost people due to injury and doesn't look like the same team, they are stipulated to lose rank and not make it. And again, they did go undefeated. They did beat Louisville, and they beat Louisville in a way I thought they would, which is a lot of running the football, controlling the clock. It was a low scoring game, 16-6, but I don't know. Did you put them in, Wall?
I mean, the answer is that they didn't get put in, so it's clear. Now, in my opinion, what should have happened, I guess the thing about it is the problem I have with the whole thing is the NCAA is not clear on what the exact guidelines are, what the exact methodology is, not even exact, goal is. They don't even, I mean, there's, it really doesn't spell out anywhere what the goal is. And this is the problem I have. If you're putting in the four best teams in the nation, as in the best talented teams right now, they could beat anybody, you know, comparatively. Florida State is by no means one of those teams. Not, it's not even close. You know, they might not even be top 10 without their quarterback, Mr. Travis, who's sitting out. So if you're going off of that methodology and that's the way it should be, which I personally don't think that's the way it should be, but then I could see Florida State being left out because they are not one of the best four teams of the nation. There's, it's hard to even subjectively say they are. I understand they're undefeated, but this is the problem I have with it, Woj. As far as teams that are most deserved to be in the playoffs, they are absolutely one of the top four most deserved teams to be in the playoffs. I mean, they beat a LSU team at the beginning of the season. You got to remember, we're talking about a team that LSU, one of the top teams in the SEC. An Alabama team gets in there. They're the top team in the SEC. LSU's not far behind them. LSU played a good football game against them. I don't, as far as deservedness, I mean, Florida State should be in there. And I think that's the way it should be, because what other sport do you see where, you know, an undefeated team gets left out? It doesn't matter what your team's like right now. It's how much you deserve to be given a shot to win that championship.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people aren't talking about this, or at least I haven't seen. I'm sure there are a lot of people as far as Georgia fans go. But, hey, Georgia's ranked sixth in the nation. They went from first in the nation to sixth in the nation. This week they dropped the most slots out of anybody in five. So where does the love come in for Georgia? Who is a team who essentially has been undefeated for two seasons, right? Well, they've won back-to-back college championships, and I know that'll take in previous years into account there, but, and there were times that Georgia did look susceptible, but they still were undefeated in regular season play, and they did lose the SEC championship. It is in their own hands there. I get that. But I mean, a lot of people aren't talking about Georgia and why they aren't in there. But, you know, I really like that Texas got in, and I think the deal is there. Hey, if Texas gets in, Alabama's got to get in, considering they won. And the only way to get Texas in there above that is to put Alabama in. So you have to put both. Or else there'd be a real shit show.
I disagree with that 100%. Woj. I think if you put Alabama in, then absolutely you have to put Texas in. But the other way around, that's what I'm saying.
I think the other way around, you're right. I worded that wrong. I think if you put Alabama in, you have to put Texas in. That's guaranteed. And the only way to do that is to take Georgia completely out and Florida State to completely out. So again, only four teams. It is what it is. The 12 team won't essentially help anything, because there's still a team there sitting at 11 that is likely going to be on the cusp line in 11 and 12. And then how do you deal with that? So, you know, I don't know. There wasn't much movement other than that. A couple of the teams that lost went down. One, Louisville went down. One, Iowa went down. One, Oklahoma State went down too, which they deserved considering their loss total there, 49-21. SMU moved up to 24. Right behind Liberty, which is number 23. And the big deal with that is, Wall, is I got a little preview for you. You ready for this?
I'm ready. I'm ready.
2023 12-team playoff, what it would look like, who's playing who, and who has the buys. Liberty is in, being as they are the highest-ranked non-Power 5 conference winner, beating SMU by one rank, 23-24. Tulane definitely would have been the highest ranked. They probably would have been somewhere in the 20 range if they would have beaten SMU, and they would have been in. But SMU did beat them, so they are now non-ranked. SMU moves in from being non-ranked to number 24, but Liberty holds them off at number 23. So here's how it goes. In one bracket, you're going to have Florida State and Liberty playing each other, and the winner of that team plays Alabama. Well, you have Georgia Ole Miss playing each other. Winner of that game plays Texas. You have Penn State, Ohio State playing each other. Winner of that plays Washington. And you have Oregon and Missouri playing each other. And again, the winner of that plays Michigan. Now, I know that the playoff committee before has shifted teams in the top four to play against each other, and what would be the ample matchup for the fan, at least, but that's what they say. It's for the fans. I want to know if that same stipulation is in for this situation, because again, you have two SEC teams playing each other and two Big Ten teams playing each other to get to the second round. And I'm not sure that that's what would happen, but that's one question I would have. I don't know if it's written down somewhere, but it would just be weird for a Penn State, Ohio State team to play each other again, even though it'd be a great game, or a Georgia Ole Miss to play each other as they're both in the SEC, even though I don't think they played each other this year because they're in, no, they are on the same side. So they did play each other at some point. Did they not?
Georgia Ole Miss.
Yeah.
I don't remember the game. I mean,
I'd have to look that up too, but yeah.
Well, they should have played each other because they're on the same side.
Yeah, they are on the same side.
Yeah, they played 52 to 7. That's why we don't
remember. Okay.
See, and that's the problem with it. Like, you're given this 12-team playoff. Well, and I mentioned it even before this came up last week, Woj, before I knew about what this was going to be. What did I say? I said, yes, there's always going to be that argument between who's the 10, 11, 12 team that should get in. But now another argument comes into place. Who should be ranked where, because matchups become a huge thing. Now you got this Georgia team that, you know, they're not even in the playoffs and they beat this Ole Miss team by, you know, 100 one week, and they're going to be playing them first round of the playoffs if what you're showing me is correct. While Ohio State is playing Penn State, who, you know, I think very highly of this year. I think they're one of the top five teams in the nation. I think they're sitting at that five spot probably. So
I mean, just looking at the total score at the end of the day, it was a lot tighter between Penn State, Ohio State than Georgia Ole Miss. That's for damn sure.
Exactly. So there has to be, I know they have a lot of leniency with how they can rank once they get the top four in as the current structure stands. They have a lot of leniency with how they can match them up. They can actually put a higher ranked team, a team they think is better below, to create a more regional matchup or a matchup deemed more favorable to the public, I think is how it's worded. I would assume that will carry through till next year. So I would think you would see something like Ohio State, Ole Miss, Penn State, Georgia. I think that's how they would structure it. Again, you are more familiar with this 12-team playoff than I am, because to be honest with you, I haven't spent a lot of time looking into it. I know how the NCAA is. They shoot from the hip. So this could all change tomorrow, you know?
Yeah, it's possible. I do like the idea of it. I do like to see a little bit more competitive football in the postseason. I get bowls are there, but there's also guys that opt out. A lot of people in these games would not opt out. You keep it a little bit more fresh, I guess, is one of the words to say. But I think 12 teams is far enough. I don't want it to turn into an NCAA basketball tournament. We had 64 teams. We don't even do a regular season. We just do a bracket at the start of the season. But it'll be interesting. I'm excited to see this. I'm excited to see how it pans out. I'm waiting to see if Notre Dame joins a conference, because, again, one of the stipulations is if you are a conference winner, you get in the top Power Five, no matter what your rank is. Likely you'd be in the top 11 at that point anyways. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there.
Notre Dame just renewed their contract with NBC.
Okay. So likely not going to happen. Yes. Likely staying independent and trying to make some money there. So for a Notre Dame in this situation, they would have to be an at-large pick, because they don't distribute that highest ranked non-Power Five to non-conference champions. So you have to be a conference championship and a champion in a non-Power Five, and being an independent, unless independents somehow make a conference of their own and Notre Dame's playing against Army to win the championship, then I don't know. It's a tougher road for Notre Dame at that point. So we'll see what happens there. But while we're going to do some bowl previews like we did last season, talk to me about that one.
I'm excited. I mean, the Rundown Nation, you guys love your bowl previews, so we're going to get them again for you this year. What we'll do the same thing we've done the past couple of years. We'll split it into two episodes. The first episode, we're going to go through the first half of the games through the 27th, all the bowl games, every single one. You want to hear about your team, we're going to talk about them. You might not like what we have to say, but then the second episode, we're going to catch the games after the 27th, December 28th and on up until, you know, those big New Year's Day games. Real happy about those this year, Woj. We're going to do it in two episodes. We're going to cover every single bowl game. We're going to get you ready for the bowl season, so you know what side to put that money on.
It's a beautiful time of year, Wal. There's like football on Tuesdays and Mondays Oof. And Christmas and every day Christmas. Of the week. It's great. It's a beautiful time of year, even if the games aren't that good. You get to watch some college football. It doesn't have to be the pros every day. So looking forward to making some bets, looking forward to winning some bets. Follow over at SBI. Those guys do really good. I was going to say SHIT, but those guys do a really good job of getting you all the information you need to be informed and ready to make a good bet on some of these bowl games. We will try to keep you informed. I know I always try to do a big, huge snippet every year in these previews as far as who's sitting, who's playing, who's injured, who's not, you know, because that makes a big deal, especially when it comes down to the point spreads. And I think there's it's so hard for the Vegas guys to kind of pick these games. That's why you see a large variance, because they're coming conference to conference and a lot of these guys are sitting. So you can really make some money in the bowl games if you pay attention to some of these teams. Hopefully we'll keep you informed enough to make some money. Well,
oh yeah, we're gonna do that for sure, Woj. I can promise you that. And one thing I'm looking at this picture you got of this 12 team live, and just the controversy that's gonna come from it is just so great. We got in this thing you have, Woj. I'm looking at this picture. I wish I could show it to the Rundown Nation. Somehow I can't. But you're showing Florida the way it stands right now. It would be Florida State versus Liberty in the first playoff game. Yes. While you have Georgia playing Ole Miss, you have Penn State playing Ohio State, Oregon playing Missouri. You're gonna have Florida State. Yes. Like, what kind of crap?
I don't see again. So there's a reason they're the non-power fives, right, Wal? Like, there's a reason Liberty, Tulane, SMU. I mean, Wal, we saw, who was it? Air Force was in the top 25 at one point this season. Were they not? They would have been a Mountain West champion, possibly, in getting into the playoff. I don't want to see that game. Yeah. As much as I have respect for Liberty and what they've done this year, I don't want to watch Liberty play anybody in the top 10, because it's not going to be a good game. I'm sorry. It's a different level of player. It's maybe they come out and pull an Appalachian State, right? But do we really want to see that in the college football playoff? Because they're not one of the best 12 teams in the nation. And that's what I would like to see, one of the best 12 teams in the nation. So I wish they would get rid of the non-power five rule. It doesn't make sense to me. I guess it gives them a little bit more I don't know what it gives them, but it basically says, here's your free ticket in, go get embarrassed and you know, stop crying, like, type thing. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't like it either, Wal. I wish, you know, it would be a better playoff if number 12 got in, say Oklahoma. Because you have Ole Miss at 11, say Oklahoma got in over Liberty. Okay, Oklahoma, Florida State, I'll take that game.
Yeah, I'll take it too. I mean, over Liberty anyways. And I'm just saying, Florida State now, they just get, whether they deserve to be in there or not, now they're getting a bye essentially in this new format. I don't know. They're not one of the top teams. One of the top teams, I will say though, is our Iowa Hawkeyes women's basketball. Woj, you might not be watching the games. Yes, I am. Mr. Are. Caitlin Clark just takes down Iowa State. Those ugly people from Iowa State, 67 to 58. Caitlin Clark reaches 3,000, Woj. Fantastic day to be a Hawkeye.
It is a fantastic day. Well, from the College Football Rundown, I am Woj.
I'm Walt.
And we will be back with you next Thursday with the first preview of the Bulls.
Love it, Woj. Can't wait.
Rundown Nation, thanks for listening to our episode. You can catch all of our podcasts and information on www.collegefootballrundown.com. We have upcoming games. We have SBI information on there. They're a big partner sponsor with us. If you want to sign up to their website, please use code Rundown when you do that. It helps us out. It helps them out as well. But so much good information on that website. So please check them out. Please check our website out. You can catch us on Twitter at WWCFB. Our Instagram is college_football_rundown. Please take a look, take some time. We do our weekly DraftKings League, so make sure to get in on that. All the information for that is on our website. Other than that, I'm Woj.
And I'm Wal.
And we are now definitely out. Thank you for listening.